on the line, I've got Matt Kunkel from the Migrant Workers Centre. G'day, Matt. How are you?
Good, thanks, Annie. Great to be here.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you was because we all sit in our little houses, or if we've got a house or a place to live, unaware that actually there's a whole lot of visa workers and migrant workers who are here or prop up our system of agriculture. And I was particularly interested in the push by the federal government to try and make out that Victoria has got such tough COVID restrictions going on that farmers in Gippsland couldn't get their usual seasonal workers from the Pacific. But there's more to it, isn't there?
Goes all the way back to the very start of the pandemic in Australia, when Scott Morrison and others told temporary visa holders just to go home. And while many of them kind of stayed as long as they possibly could and did so without any support from the federal government, many of them now have gone home, including a lot of those working holiday makers or backpackers that do spend a lot of time up in the regions picking our fruit. And we've seen a wide range of, you know, calls from industry that there's not enough people to pick fruit, that, you know, farmers are ploughing crops back into the fields. And now there's a number of things the government's trying to do in a rush and in a hurry because of their actions of 2020 and even ignoring this kind of crisis beforehand. So there's a couple of things, but I think what we're seeing here is another example of blame shifting from the federal government to the state governments around the country, because both of these things could have been fixed if the federal government had have taken a different approach in 2020.
Yeah, it's interesting because Dan Andrews pointed out a really practical thing, because everything's been made inflammatory and freakish because of COVID. But he pointed out that if the federal government wanted things to be have a more positive road for the Pacific Island visa workers who are, you know, in the past have done this seasonally, they would have contributed to the medical systems in the Pacific Islands to move them from an orange zone to a green zone system, which is really interesting, isn't it? Very simple and practical.
Well, this is part of it. I mean, things have been muffed so badly that we are kind of scrambling in Australia to get our own Delta outbreak under control, where when we look to some of our neighbours, you know, while they're not involved in the Pacific Labour Scheme, our friends in Indonesia have got 16,000 cases, new cases each day at the moment. It's still very, very difficult. And what I think we're talking about here is the ability to bring folks in at the moment requires largely on hotel quarantine. And what the government, the Victorian government did a deal with the Tasmanian government, whereby the Tasmanian government would do hotel quarantine for the seasonal workers that were coming in for the season, and then they would come from Tasmania into Victoria. But what we're seeing is a real pressure on the nation's quarantine facilities or the quarantine hotels, because there aren't purpose-built quarantine facilities to make sure that, you know, people coming into this country can safely spend an isolation period before entering into the community. So, I mean, this is again blame shifting from the federal government to those different state governments around the country, because they haven't done their job. They haven't provided. We're now a very long way into this, and we know by looking around the city, how quickly buildings can go up. We're now in the second year of this global pandemic, and we still don't have purpose-built quarantine facilities, which would alleviate some of these concerns. But to pick up your point, Annie, about the orange zone and the green zone, or the, you know, the different classifications of the different countries, what we've got is we've still got very low vaccination rates in some of the Pacific Island nations. You know, for example, Vanuatu, which is a large source of workers for the seasonal worker program, less than 10% of people there have had just one
jab.
Jab, yeah. And you know, what we should be seeing as good neighbours is trying to help our Pacific Island nations and those around us and across all the world to get their vaccine rates up, rather than, as we did, have to buy a million doses off Poland. I think to be honest, is a bit of an embarrassment to be taking vaccines, which could be going into the arms of more developing nations. Australia should be getting this right. We should have got this right from the start. And then all of us that are in lockdown, and all of us, and you know, those farmers that need people to pick their fruit, we wouldn't be in this situation. But this is just another example of blame shifting from the federal government.
Sounds practically challenged. They're practically challenged.
Oh, there's a lot that I could say there, Annie, but I might get into a little bit of strife. I mean, they've got two jobs: get quarantine right, so that this, you know, so that the nation's protected from further spread, and get vaccines into people's arms. And they haven't done either of those things. The important thing to know is that while we, you know, we're on the right track now, getting more vaccines into people's arms, we're only a quarter of the way through the Greek alphabet. Like there could be any number of different, there could be any number of new variants that have vaccine breakthroughs. So this is a race, but it's not just a race inside the borders of Australia. It's a global race. We need to get as many people across the entire world vaccinated so that we can put this behind us. It's not just a matter of we're all right, we get to 70 or 80%. In Australia, and then we're going to be fine. That's not the way this works. It's an absolutely global challenge, and we need to show solidarity with our, not just Pacific Island neighbours, but our international friends and comrades across the entire world.
Yeah, chuck individualism out of your knapsack and get on with the business.
That's it. Neoliberalism kills, and that's what we're seeing. When we're seeing the chickens come home to roost, unfortunately, for a number of nations that that are really kind of pushing the wrong line on this and aren't taking a broader approach.
Thanks for talking to me this morning, Matt.
No worries. Thanks, Annie.